Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening and welcome to Prepare Radio. We're going to continue talking about 8 steps to engaging the supernatural. And we had a good discussion last week about some of the concerns we have in general regarding the supernatural realm and what we may have been taught about it. And just to give you a reassurance, this is going to be an ongoing challenge. So don't be in a hurry. Don't feel rushed about dealing with things and getting other people to agree with you or even coming to a settledness within yourself. Over time, you are going to change your mind. Even those things that you are sure are true in a certain way are likely to change over time, whether it's in substance or perspective. And this is one of the reasons we don't invest our confidence in what we believe. We invest our confidence in who we believe, in who we know. As you invest your time in the things we're talking about, God himself will become more and more real to you. So that as you think about what you believe, those things will become less and less important because you will instead be enjoying a relationship with the living God. So it won't be about making sure your doctrine is right or you're doing things to please God or fulfill your calling, your destiny, whatever. Instead, your life, every day, every moment, will be about dwelling, enjoying his presence. When we think about our relationships, we allow the other people in our relationships to be where they're at. And we have an expectation that they're going to change over time, but we don't see as, for most of us, as our job to change them. Now, in relationships, there's give and take where we have challenges and we make challenges to change, but we don't read it as something that we have done wrong if the other person doesn't change. And yet we read into our relationship with God based on how well our life is going. In other words, if things are going bad, we must not be pleasing God. We must have done something to deserve it. Or there must be some ulterior, you know, maybe he's getting us ready for something else. But we look for a reason, and we look for a cause. And even if we know, you know, we know the scriptures about the rain falls on the just and the unjust, but we still want to have an explanation as to why things happen in our lives that don't line up with our expectations. And what's so interesting is for most of us, not all of us, but most of us, we're to blame. Whatever it is that we have somehow disappointed God, we have missed something, we have failed in an area, we have misunderstood, we have not had enough faith. And this is where, as we begin to enjoy our time in the presence of God, those things really start to fade. Because what we begin to see is how our life is structured from the spiritual realm. Your mind is being transformed. Your will is being transformed. Your emotions are being transformed. Not into something new, but to the mind, will, and emotions that God gave you without the wounds, without believing the lies, without the crutches that we've all built just to get through this life. And when we talk about being free, that's really what that is. Is you're, right now, your will is not free. Your mind is not free. Your emotions are not free. They're in bondage. Your mind and will and emotions will not be free until they are perfectly realigned with your spirit. So this whole idea of having a free will or mind or emotions is a myth, because you don't have one. Your will is fully engulfed in believing lies, as is your mind and your emotions. Your will is not any more important than your mind or your emotions. And none of those are more important than the sum total. God doesn't say, okay, if you make the wrong choice, and isn't this amazing that this is where we have built our religion, our faith, that if you make the wrong choice, you're going to spend eternity in hell. Who came up with that? It wasn't God. And we won't get into the whole fallacy of eternity and hell in the same sentence, but the whole idea that we are judged according to something that is on its face value not true, the whole concept of free will, that God gave us a free will. Well, he did, but you don't have it now. And how quickly, between inheriting lies and growing up into lies, how quickly our mind, our will, and our emotions are wounded and bound by those lies. I guess what I'm trying to say is be free in the struggle. It's okay to wrestle with these things. And sometimes it's an emotional wrestling. We know in our mind this is true and this isn't true. Or this feels right, this doesn't feel right. or I can see how this would make sense. I want to do this, but I can't do it. There's that wrestling. And that's part of the process that God has laid out for each one of us separately. Your experience today is going to be different from anybody else's. And your experience tomorrow will be different than your experience today. Our goal here is to make sure that you make the most out of your experience day to day. For so long, the church in general, each generation has to start from scratch. We are not real good at passing along and sharing the fundamentals of what really works. We've created a class of professional religionists and abdicated our personal and individual authority to them. And just as in other areas, God is a jealous God. He is your only spiritual head. And your spirit is your only soulical head. That's it. No person has a spiritual authority over you. So you can come to God uniquely and singularly. And whatever situation you're in, He wants to talk to you about it. And we bring so much of our past. You know, we go to Him and all we're doing is waiting for Him to be disappointed. You know, I gave you this, 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 and this, and this is all you've done with it. Or, well, you made your bed, now you can lie in it. Or we hear Him and then struggle for the rest of our lives wondering if we heard Him, and we take what He says and think it's then our responsibility to walk it out. But remember, God doesn't need you to accomplish His will in this earth. He's perfectly capable of doing everything He wants to without your help. Thank you very much. So can we just, sit in the corner and twiddle our thumbs until we die? Well, yeah, you can. But you're missing out on opportunity. Whatever it is that we're supposed to be learning here on this earth, it's possible to embrace it and to do it and to know about it. God wants to be wanted. And He wants us to want what He wants for us. He wants for us to be on His side. He didn't come to help you out of your situation. He created your situation so that He could draw you, reveal Himself to you, heal you, reveal Himself more and more and more, and reveal yourself. So it's okay to struggle with these things. And if you never get beyond that struggle, that's between you and God. This is not a contest. You're not graded on a curve compared to how others do. If you are hearing from Him and responding and letting Him be your personal trainer, that's all He asks. And yet, so many of us, if not all, have such a hard time with the simplicity of devotion to Christ. Now, what happens is the more you spend time with Him and engage in the supernatural realm, allow Him to teach you whatever it is He wants to teach you. I can assure you that because there are so few that really know Him, your allowing His presence to shine through you will have an effect on those around you and on your circumstances. So we don't want to send you out there thinking that you can know Him and enjoy His presence without it affecting others. We don't live in a monastery. We're not going to be cloistered away. We're here on this earth to make the most of it, to experience victory and overcome challenges and struggling is part of it. Now, there's struggles that are of our own making, but even those, God will let you know. He will put the right questions in your heart, your mind, your will, to ask Him. It's okay to flail around. You know, Lord, I'm struggling with this. Is this my flesh? Is this my belief system? Is there something I should be doing with this? What's going on? I just don't feel satisfied with what I know about this. And it frustrates me and or whatever. You just go ahead, be honest with Him. But know that He already knows all that about you. And guess what? Your spirit already has the answer. The answer's not what's going to settle you. It's the process, because it's the process that brings us healing, that reveals God, that changes us. So don't be in such a rush to get to the end, because there'll always be something else. We have a long way to go to even reach the relationship Jesus had. And I love how He said, greater things shall you do. You, me. And we don't even do the bare minimum of what He did here on this earth. So until we get to that point, we can't even think that, okay, now we're moving on. Now we're growing. Until we can raise the dead, we have a long ways to go. Then we can really start in on what's next. Wouldn't that be a challenge? Wouldn't that be something to be practically looking at? You know, a church without spot or wrinkle starts with the least in the kingdom. Those are the kinds of things that reveal a relationship with God. Not a special gifting or anointing or being in His presence in a special way. It's something for all of us. God is no respecter of persons. He's a respecter of time. Out of everything any of us have, that's the great equalizer. We all have the same amount of time. Now, some have very little time during the day that's under their control. Others have tons of time during the day that's under their control. It's not how much time you have, it's what are you doing with it. What is your priority? And there have been movements throughout church history where, okay, you go through the whole, I'm getting rid of all my TVs, I'm going to get rid of my phone and my computer and all this other, these other distractions. And there may be times when that's helpful, maybe even necessary. But for most of us, what we're looking at is what's going on inside. When you start carving out time for God, when you start putting Him first in your life, He starts putting you first. And He starts drawing you. And instead of saying, oh, wait a minute, I can't watch TV, I really wanted to watch this, but I can't, you'll sit down and start watching a movie you were really looking forward to, and He'll come. And you'll turn off the TV willingly and go sit with Him, enjoying His presence, enjoying true fellowship. Maybe without anything happening, without any change, without any understanding, just being able to be with Him. God wants to be able to trust us. And we need to be able to trust ourselves. We have so many wonderful opportunities. And God is truly an equal opportunity God. It's all there before you. Do you want it? Let me answer that for you. Absolutely, 100%. In your spirit, you do. The problem is never our spirit. God quickened your spirit and then said, okay, I'm satisfied. And He checked you off His list. He's not at all concerned about how you're doing anymore as far as measuring up to being a son. The measuring up that we have, that we struggle with, is all internal. It's all between our soul and our spirit. Don't try to figure that out. Once you've experienced that dichotomy, once you've experienced so many of these things, you will have the understanding you need. God knows what you need each and every day, and He has it already available in your spirit. Let Him be the God. Let Him give you the homework. You just show up for class, do the homework, take the test, move on to the next thing. He's very practical. He knows where you're at. He just wants you to take you to the next step. So anyway, all this to say, this is part, the process is part of the overcoming. The struggle going up the mountain, falling back, having to find another way, that's what makes the overcoming, standing up on top of that mountain, being able to plant the flag in that, You know, you could have taken a helicopter up to the top of the mountain, planted a flag, and boom, have gotten up there and be done. But there's no struggle in that. There's no overcoming in that. Instead, we start at the bottom. We see the big hill. We know what we're in for. We prepare. We do take all the safety precautions. We do everything prudently and wisely. But then we have to just take that first step. And then the next. And then the next. And we deal with the unique situations that we face as we go up the mountain. But when we make that final step to the summit and we plant our flag, we have accomplished something. We have been changed. We are stronger. We can now trust ourselves. We are learning to develop our own judgment. We've heard the voice of God and responded and tested it and found it to be true. Found it to be effective. Found Him to be always present and looking out for our best interests. And those are the things that give us the satisfaction when we've reached the summit. Not that we've done it out of our own strength, but because we have embraced every step as part of the process of relying on Him. Depending on Him to speak to us moment by moment. Not just gutting it out, but recognizing that as we do that, He's not going to lift up your foot and say, okay, now put it right there. You're going to lift up your foot, and as you start to put it down, He will guide it. Or He will say, oop, wait a minute, not there. Or you may just put it down. The whole point is that you are aware of His authority and His right to speak to you even as you put your foot down. So it's not a matter of, okay, when you're going in to get dressed in the morning, you don't ask Him, okay, Lord, what do I wear this morning? What clothes do I put on? But as you're in your closet looking at what you might be wearing, it's not that He tells you what to wear, but that you're open that He might. So as you're reaching for something, He may say, no, wear this. Or you just might sense that your hand going a different direction. You find out, you know, oh, there was something about what you were going to wear, whether it's for somebody else, for the weather, whatever. Sometimes we never know why God wants us to make a certain choice or not. But the point is that we don't exclude Him from any area of our life. We don't say, okay, Lord, I'm going to wait on You for half an hour between 7 and 7:30 after dinner's done and the kids are down before all the good programs are on TV. And that'll be it. Well, He won't settle for that. And eventually you won't either. You give Him an inch, He'll take a mile. And pretty soon, right in the middle of your day, while you're waiting in the carpool, He'll start making Himself known to you. He'll start putting the driver in the van in front of you on your heart, on your mind, to start interceding for in a whole different way than you ever thought intercession is. Your relationship with him is going to be unique, and how he works it out in you is going to be unique. Let it go with that. Let it be what it is. You don't have to meet anyone else's standards. So, thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. We'll be getting back together again next weekend. But in the meantime, thanks for tuning in. Have a great day.